Good morning, good morning. We have a nice gathering of people here in the sanctuary, but we also have a gathering here online. So welcome, everyone. My name is Beth David Ann. I'm a member here at Christ Church Uniting, and pleased to be back co-leading this worship with Reverend Lauren Buck-Maderos. We've got an exciting day ahead. I think everyone is just really happy, and we're so pleased that we can honor the beauty and creativity around us, including the stained glass windows. So welcome, everyone. And as is our practice, we always light a candle, and we always hope that the lighter works. Yay. And this is an important symbol for us to remind us that God lights our way, God illuminates our lives. And as we gather into this space, as we gather into our bodies and minds, I ask you to look around, or if you're at home with others, and offer a sign of peace. For some of us, that is something like this, maybe it's like this, but take a moment while you're seated to just give a word of peace to each other as we gather. And now I invite you to join me in a responsive call to worship, followed by the Lord's Prayer. And today, in keeping with our celebration of God as creator of the beauty around us, we will begin the Lord's Prayer this way: Our Creator who art in heaven and in the world around us. So you'll see that, and I'll invite you to share the Lord's Prayer in that way today. So on the screens and online, you'll see our responsive call to worship. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation.
We need not be afraid, for the Lord is the strength of our lives.
Come into God's presence with hearts aflame. Bask in the radiance of God's extravagant love and seek God's face in the beauty of creation. We follow the one who is the light of the world, in whose name we pray with confidence. Our Creator, who art in heaven and in the world around us, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we have our first song of the day. Please join am I doing this wrong? Yes. We are...
Yeah.
Thank you for that beautiful hymn here in this place. So it's cakey time. Hello, folks. Good to see you. We know there's some people here online. Come close and enjoy a special cakey time for today.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the sanctuary. I'm so excited today to be a part of this celebration where we give honor to everyone that came together to create our beautiful 12 stained glass windows here at Christ Church Uniting. Some of you might remember that several years back, these windows were kind of plain, just clear glass. And now we have depicted everything from the ocean to the mountains and everywhere in between. In Hawaii, we call that an ahu pu'a'a. And I wanted to take us on a little mini tour just to highlight a few of the details of these amazing stained glass windows. So let's spy together. Do you see the palm tree and the whale by the sunrise? Let's keep going and see what we see together. I see the heiau and some bananas. I see over here some fish and birds and a waterfall. And we keep going and we see some beautiful tropical vegetation, flowers. And then we come back here. And there's the rainbow and a beautiful tree in the mountains. And finally, our last two windows back in the corner are beautiful mountain flowers. You know, traveling that little distance, which in reality outside is kind of a big distance, it makes me think about a song that I would like to offer as our prayer today. Sing to the mountains, sing to the sea. Raise your voices, lift your hearts. This is the day that God has made. Let all the earth rejoice. Thanks for rejoicing with me in the beautiful gift of our stained glass windows. I hope you have a lovely week ahead. Bye.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Auntie Beth, for letting our cakey time introduce the windows. And thank you, choir, for inviting us to not only open our eyes, but our ears and our hearts as well. I have to tell you, I am kind of excited right now. This moment has been a long time coming. Some of you will remember that in March of 2020, way back in yon years of yore, Pastor Liz was on maternity leave and I was just beginning a brilliant Lenten series of sermons and worship services celebrating the brand new stained glass windows as they were being installed and as they were still being created. In fact, only those first two panels were completed and in place, and we were already giddy with excitement just seeing those first two panels. Kalua's nodding her head. Knowing that others were just across the way in the studio of artist Joseph Dwight, taking shape and coming to life. And then, just 2 weeks into Lent, the whole world changed. And we, along with churches and schools and businesses, did a big pivot to online worship. And though awkward at first, we creatively grew into the challenge. But our consideration of these windows had to pause, but not their creation. And today, we have the unique and amazing gift to meet the artist and to deepen our understanding of our already beloved stained glass windows. CCU, those of you present and those online, meet Joseph Dwight. Come on up, Joseph. And Ron, I'm gonna ask you to come up too. We're gonna distance ourselves a little bit. Come on up, Ron, because Ron had a big hand in this as well. And so I'm kind of excited. I'm going to do the little Oprah thing here. I'm gonna ask some questions, and then I'm so curious. He hasn't even told me the answer. So I'm really excited to hear some of the stories. So Mr. Dwight, Joe, can you tell us a little bit about just your journey as an artist?
Well, I started this off as a hobby in the 70s, late 70s, to keep me from losing my mind. I worked in food and beverage for 30 years in Waikiki when it was really nuts. When I left the industry in 96, I'd been doing glass for about, since 79, and took a chance. I didn't want to go back to the hotels. I'd been there too long and it wasn't fun anymore. So I took a chance and I bought some advertising, I made some ads, and 15 days after I left my last hotel job, I got a call from St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Kapahulu. And when I did the designs for that church, and I took them to the church council and waited for them to decide, and they accepted it, I knew I was off and running, that I would not have to go back and work in food and beverage again. I am totally self-taught. I've never had an art lesson in my life.
Whoa.
I kind of learned to do the glass out of spite because my sister-in-law paid $400 for a lesson. And I said, you gotta be nuts. I bought a glass cutter and I watched what she did. And then while I was still at the hotels, I'd run away at lunch, and there used to be a lot of stained glass studios in Honolulu in the 70s. Actually in the 60s and 70s. And so I'd go up to one of them in Kaimuki and just on my lunch break watch and ask dumb questions. And they were very helpful. And I developed my own way. And by the time I left the hotels, I'd probably done a couple hundred private commissions in homes and a whole lot of craft fairs. Mm. And I was off and running. And the rest speaks for itself. To date, you are the this church is the 16th church I've done from the grounds up, design and build. 11 of those are Catholic churches, which blows my mind that I've done the stained glass for 11 Catholic churches. Just is crazy in my book. But
so, Joe, tell us about this project. Can you, how it was for you to create these windows?
When I met with the pastor, I asked him, you got to give me an idea of what you want, and they wanted to bring nature back into the church. And so I said, okay, you know, we can start at the ocean and work our way to the coal house. And the windows depict highlights of that journey across from the ocean, across the marsh, and up into the coal house. And basically every window is what I see when I'm out there. I've not had an original idea in my life. I draw and create and put together what I've seen. I can't come up with this stuff by myself. And how, usually when I design a window before I start building, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I go out in my shop and I start drawing. And I don't really understand what happens and I don't care anymore. But what I've seen here comes out onto the paper.
We call that the Spirit of God in these places.
That's the easiest part of this journey for me, and for most people it's the hardest, that I do not understand why I was given this gift, but I understand that it is a gift.
Yeah.
And the only way that I can keep doing this is try and keep putting this work out in the world as often as I can, wherever I can. And, you know, it's the best job I've ever had in my life. I get up, I walk 25 feet out my front door into my studio. And it's perfect. It allows me to be at home 90% of the time where I need to be. And that's.
Was there a window that was particularly difficult, or maybe even one that you consider your favorite?
The first two, and 5 and 6.
Were your favorites or the hardest?
The favorites and the hardest.
If
you get up and look at those birds, uh-huh. Most of the parts of those birds, each piece of glass is smaller than my small fingernail.
Oh.
And they have 20 to 30 pieces in a bird. And I can draw them and I can cut them, but I have to acknowledge that they wouldn't be here without my co-partner in crime, Lealoa, who does all my foiling. Mm. I'm so busy now that to keep getting stuff out the door, I design it, I cut it, and I take it over to her house and she foils it. And then bring it back and I solder it and finish it.
That's kind of like life. Some of the most difficult things end up being the things that we love the most. Okay, how about, here's a question for you. Do you have some hopes and dreams for their life and beauty in our sanctuary?
That they will be here long after I'm gone. Mm. And that's the thing that blows my mind more than anything else. Before I started doing this, if I dropped dead, nobody would even notice I was gone, a handful of people. But what I've done will live on past my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren's lives. They will be able to walk in a number of places in this town and said, I know who did that. Uh-huh. And, you know, I didn't have a lot to do with this except be there when the time was right. I still don't know how I do this.
You know, I think they are a gift to us in here, but I also think people driving by also see. So you're right, and it's a gift that will outlast all of us. We have kind of nature on this side, and now you've brought the nature to this side. I wanted to ask Ron if you wanted to share anything about the process, because as you probably know, Ron had a lot to do with the idea, but also with the installation and the bringing this idea to fruition.
Yeah, I'd like to, Bob, come on up here. Bob was my partner in crime on this. I hate to work alone. And Bob was a great inspiration. I'm really glad he came along. But let me tell you that I first came to this church as a guest of EK's. Uh-huh. And I remember the disaster this church was in. The windows were not even, they were plastic, they weren't even glass. they were kind of molded. And I just said to myself, this church needs a help. And I remember telling Carrie that I was looking for a project that I could do in EK's behalf. Mm. And I said, Carrie, I know what it is. It's me. I'm going to go to the church. So I did. Yeah. And we got the floors, we got the chairs, we've got
the light,
the lights, the lawn out there, and who knows. But putting this together was really a lot of fun. Bob and I did those first two windows. We were really proud of it. Until the artist came along and said, hey, you put them in backwards. So we, Bob and I go, oh gosh, wonderful. And we change them around, but each window is a little different size. Mm. Joe said they're all the same, but not to a true carpenter, right, Bob?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we got really good by the time we got to the back. But there was so much little molding and pieces of work that you had to do. I would say that there was two really inspirational people at that time that kept me going. One, of course, is Bob, because he was there to help me. But there was Liz, because she would come in and just inspire me all the time. You know, just really wonderful to have her around to say, oh, Ron, that's great.
And yeah,
that's
yeah.
all it is, like a little bicycle pump. But So I am so happy that I could be part of putting this together. And I think Bob is the same way. And it'll be a lifetime for this church. So any other questions?
Well, I just want to say that Ron always reminds me that this was truly a gift of so many hands. In fact, I'm looking out and many of you had something very significant to do, whether it was to give an offering or a gift or to solicit names or, you know, any number of things. And so I love that you always are pointing to the fact that this is all of ours. And today, as we dedicate these windows, they really become all of ours and the world's too. So, friends, can we offer our heartfelt mahalo to Mr. Dwight and to Ron and Bob and all of those who were part of this amazing project? Thank you. You can go in back and sit down.
Oh, you don't often get clapping before the scripture. That's pretty cool. I'll take that. Today, our scripture readings are from Genesis, Job, and John. So, Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And from Job chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. The birds of the air, and they will tell you. Ask the plants of the earth, and they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare you. Who among all of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being. And finally, from John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Friends, in some parts of our world, days are getting darker. Hence the daylight savings confusion that we experience here in Hawaii. But though fall and the loss of daylight might be challenging to some of you watching from the north, it's true that colors actually explode as the leaves on the trees turn amazing hues before those leaves fall gently to the earth and enter their next phase of usefulness and purpose in becoming the rich, dark soil through which new growth can happen come spring. Oh my, the beautiful lessons of the earth, change, and the circle of life. Like a leaf, knowing when to let go, it can be a wondrous and positive thing, yes? Of course, those of us who live in this part of the world, this part where the fall might signal a little bit more rain, and therefore more shades of green, our experience of the traditional colors of fall are perhaps limited to the rustic placemats we might set on our Thanksgiving tables, or cards we might buy for a friend, or even a favorite scarf or sweater we might pull out of storage. You notice I didn't say that our experience of the colors of fall are seen in the decorations and displays in department stores in the mall or in our grocery stores, because before Halloween, those were already set for Christmas, right? And those of you who know my Gestapo tendencies, when it comes to my commitment to the season of Advent, preceding the season of Christmas, let alone Thanksgiving, you might celebrate that this year I'm relaxing a bit on that, just a bit. A friend of mine has already put up his Christmas tree, and he said, you know what, Lauren, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. But we as a church in this moment between the season of Liz's pastorate and the season of building on firm foundations, and right here before we start the season of Advent, we have two precious Sundays to give thanks. Today, for the colors in these windows. Windows, colors, and light, and the lessons of the earth, found in the flora and fauna, found in the very architecture of the landscape, translated by the artistic mind and heart and hands into windows of beauty and inspiration, where they can inform our praise of the Creator, where their silent witness can lance our pain, our sorrow in these troubled times, where their stories can affirm the roots we send deep into this vahipana, this sacred place, where their messages, ho'ailona, can invite us to consider those things beyond what meets our eye and maybe touches our heart. That's what we needed to do today, church. Joe Dwight, we are so grateful for the ways that you took the seeds of our ideas, the musings of our minds, and the quest for this worship space to reflect the beauty of our God who is beautiful. You took all of that and your own walks in the morning, and you translated it with your skill and imagination and creativity to craft something that, yes, will outlast you and will outlast us all. One that will be a message from our generation to those who will come after us, both those who manage to be inside this space and those who watch on a screen and those who drive by on the street outside. So in this season of Thanksgiving, it feels appropriate, it feels right, it feels pono to pause in gratitude, to hear some of the stories that Joe and Ron and others have shared with us, Bob, to recite those scriptures about creation and light, and to acknowledge that even as our community and our world continues to struggle through this unprecedented time of pain and loss, of sickness and separation, of divisions and exposures of inequities, of transitions and wondering about what's next, even in all of that, the waxy plumeria kept blooming and sharing its incredible aroma. The playful honu turtles kept gliding through the sparkling waters. The trees kept reaching their branches toward the sun's nourishing rays. The glowing Anuenue, the rainbows kept shimmering their message of inclusion across our skies. And the mountains kept standing majestic and solid, and these windows gradually and methodically appeared and took their designated places and began to give voice to the messages we all need to hear and receive. Messages of welcome, messages of witness, messages of wonder. Welcome to this community of faith. Welcome to Kailua, to our windward Oahu, to our island home. Witness in those words from Job. Ask the animals and they will teach you. The birds of the air, the plants and the fish, giving witness to the hand of God, crafting with purpose and design. And wonder, messages of wonder, not just at the beauty surrounding us, but those things that point us to something beyond ourselves, pointing us to God, inspiring us to sing of God's amazing grace. How sweet the sound! Messages of the faith and hope and love surrounding us always. Po mai kai na mea apau, and everything is blessed. So, dear friends, dear church gathered here in this place and there in our beloved online community that stretches way beyond this place and even time, let us offer now a prayer of thanksgiving and dedication. We are going to incorporate the intentions and dedications of the donors into this prayer, because that is a precious part of this project. But I invite all of you in your hearts to expand these dedications to include the names and the memories and the beloveds of all of our hearts, that these windows can become for us, can fulfill for us and for many more what they were meant to do and to be. And I'm quoting here from the notes of the original small group that met with Pastor Liz and Ron and Paul and Diane and others, envisioning that these windows might ground us in the sacred context of our own surroundings, of Kailua and the mana that existed here long before us and will exist here long into the future. As Beth and I pray, we invite you to keep your eyes open, to take in the beauty of each window as it is dedicated. E pule kako, let us pray. Maker of all beauty, you make the sun to rise in splendor and to march in quiet radiance across our Hawaiian skies. You have gifted our senses with the perfume and elegance of colorful flowers, the sounds of the waves on the shore, the thrill of waterfalls cascading down ravines, and so much more. We thank you for the way these windows celebrate the light and honor your creation in this place.
We give thanks for this first window featuring the Mokalua Islands, dedicated by the Bale family, Larry Grimm, Caroline and Charles Neal, Robert Schurzmeister, the Ship Ohana, Catherine Sophian, and Louise South, in appreciation for the ministry of Pastor Liz Levitt. And now, this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this second window featuring an ocean scene, the Honu turtle and seabirds, dedicated by John and Marion Heidel to their parents, Catherine and Earl Heidel, and Marjorie and Raymond Stannard, MD. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this third window featuring the Ko'olau Mountains, He'au, Ohia, and Hala, dedicated by Reed and Diane Glover's family to the glory of God, or Soli Deo Gloria. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this fourth window featuring the Ko'olau Mountains and the Mai'a Banana, dedicated by Bob Grantham to the glory of God, and in honor of Bob and June's faithful membership since 1978. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this fifth window featuring the Manu, birds, and Ia fish, dedicated by Michelle Beginski, Ann Bell, Cynthia Burson, Anna Grun, and Susie Januzzi, in celebration and preservation of Hawaii Nei, honoring Munyan Bell, Mildred Still, and Dick Thomas. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this sixth window featuring Namanu, the land birds, and Kawailele, the waterfalls, dedicated by the Peter and Cynthia Chu family in loving memory of Gregory K. H. Chu, a charter member of this church. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this seventh window featuring the Anthurium and How Tree, dedicated by Paul and Peg Herring and George and Marianne Wyman, in celebration of CCU's founding ministers and our kupuna for their faith, wisdom, and guidance. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this eighth window featuring the distinctive heliconia, dedicated by Ron and Mary Beth Seipel and their family for the beauty of this church. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this ninth window featuring Ke Anuenui, the rainbow, dedicated by Paul Snipes and Heidi Mark Arele and family in memory of Pat Snipes and in honor of Paul Snipes, dedicated disciples and charter members of CCU. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this 10th window featuring a tree over the Ko'olau's and ginger plant, dedicated by Paul and Melissa Belanger and R.W. Schoenbrown and Charlene Hosenfeld for their loved ones past and for the Ina. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this 11th window featuring the Bird of Paradise, dedicated by Diane Brookins in appreciation for Pat Gilbert's many years of hospitality ministry. And now this window blesses us all.
We give thanks for this 12th window featuring plumeria blossoms, dedicated by Diane Winter Brookins in celebration of the life of Gail Winter from her children. And now this window blesses us all.
Colorful God, we bless and dedicate these windows and the light that will continue to shine through them and through us. Help us to continue to find the joys you keep tucked safe in the creation around us. In the sunlight of your love, make us a prism of your aloha. As we affirm with the chorus, bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life. Amen.
We come now to this table, another beautiful work of art, another message from those who came before us to celebrate the gift of trees at a place in our service that remembers another tree that was fashioned into the shape of an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, but also the embodiment of love offered to us from God in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, who told us to consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and the love that we can have really for all of God's children, even the ones who betray us with a kiss. So we come to remember that when Jesus met with his friends in an upper room, he took the elements of the Passover meal and gave them new meaning. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the cup of the new and the everlasting covenant, the agreement between earth and God, that God is with us always. Into this cup, we can pour our anxiety, our questions about what's next, and out of it, draw strength for the days ahead. These are the gifts for all of us. Some of us have these cute little safety-sealed communion elements. If you didn't pick one up, there are some right outside the door. But wherever you are, and with whatever you have, we pray in faith that they will become for us the elements of Jesus' extravagant love, which is for you and for all. So let us receive the nourishment of remembering and remembering, bringing together anew the family of faith. Let us take a moment to prayerfully partake. We come now to our time of offering. Yay! You know, giving gifts of money today is awesome. In the basket outside or online, digitally, it's all awesome. Filling out your pledge commitments for the ongoing ministries of this church by tomorrow, right, is awesome. Do that. Using your talents and time to craft windows like Joe, or install the panels like Ron and Bob. That's awesome. Singing in the choir, or hosting vespers, or raking leaves. Those, I'm looking at you guys that are in the Great White North. You guys are raking leaves. Or visiting a neighbor. Or praying over our online email list, or working the cameras and technology, or typing comments in the chat. All of those encouraging things are awesome. Let us hold all of these wonderful ways of generous giving and so much more as we stand for the doxology. And I'm going to do the motions that I taught you a few weeks back as Kailua plays. Let's stand.
We just have a few announcements. Thank you, Lauren, for covering most of them. That was very eloquent. She slipped in the pledge cards and everything. So, yes, that does allow the council to make our budget for next year. Any contributions are greatly appreciated. A couple other things. If you weren't able to tune in to Vespers, I highly recommend watching the video either through Facebook, eventually through on the website or the YouTube channel. Beautifully done to our Vespers coordinator, Melody Heidel, and Kailua Moon. It was a beautiful night and really a blessing. So, yes, prayers can be submitted to prayers@ccukailua.org. Be assured they are prayed over during the week and shared in an email that goes out once a week. Please note that our wonderful office administrator, Dana, will be on vacation from Friday, November 19th through Monday, November 29th. You're still welcome to leave a message via email or phone, and we will respond. Others of us will respond. Please note that Emmanuel Episcopal, our neighbors in Kailua, are hosting a food bank drive this Saturday, November 20th, from 9 a.m. to noon. And next week, we will receive our message from Reverend Brittany Alexander. She's a chaplain at St. Francis Hospice, so looking forward to that. And if you feel inspired to work with, we'll call them arrangements, because you don't have to work with flowers. You can work with various things, but if you feel inspired to bring beauty to our worship, please either talk to one of us to help you get signed up, or you can find the link to sign up for flower arrangements for future Sundays. So we are ready for our final and beautiful song called In the Bulb. Thank you.
Love that hymn so much. And yes, I neglected to say, check out these colored water stained glass arrangement that Beth gifted us with. That's just so beautiful. You know, friends, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote this about stained glass windows. She wrote, "People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out, but when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is light from within." So shine on, people. Shine on. It's been so wonderful to have all of you here, but especially you, Joe. Thank you so much for gracing us with your beauty and this beauty. And all of you, thank you for being here, and we will look forward to seeing you all next Sunday. Kalua is going to send us off with some beautiful music. Shine on.